Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, getting ready for week 4 of the NFL season. The Lions hosting the Seahawks, and the Lions 4-point favorites this week. Over what? Under 48. The game, of course, 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Central kickoff in Detroit. We got a lot to talk about this week. Seahawks and Detroit both 1-2, looking to get back to that 500 mark and set off on the next quarter of the season. So I'm Big Z. We got the rest of the or most of the crew here. So UJ,
hey everybody.
Bob,
hello there.
And Run Dog,
yo.
All right, gentlemen. So I guess the big news is that Dan Orlovsky is off. The Schnei in terms of running out of the back of the end zone. If last time we podcasted, we forgot to mention that Jimmy Garoppolo ran out the back of the end zone on Sunday Night Football. So
yeah, that was awesome.
His tweet was hilarious too. He was just like, freedom.
Yeah, freedom. Yeah, that was awesome.
I think it had like 200,000 likes or something. That's everybody funny. Was talking about it. Was really funny. Awesome. He's definitely owned it though. So in that way, it's really funny. But anyways. The big story coming in this one, of course, for the Lions, I'll read it off for you really quick. The Wednesday, we're recording this on Wednesday night. So here's the Wednesday practice injury report. No practice for Chris Board, John Kaminsky, TJ Hockenson, Jonah Jackson, Bobby Price, Frank Ragnow, Josh Reynolds, Austin Seibert even, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. DeAndre Swift. And then limited was DJ Shark. So
Z, you should just say who isn't hurt.
Yeah.
Be quicker.
Man, that is a rough injury report for the better half of our team, the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's a lot. I did see Jonah Jackson that was foregoing surgery so he can come back and play this year. So, I mean, and
really?
Earlier this year than he would have.
Mm-hmm. Did they say what his injury was exactly?
A finger injury of some kind.
Yeah.
We've known that, but like, we've been asking ourselves what.
Yeah, I don't know.
How bad? This is 2 years in a row where we've had like a significant finger injury knocking out. Usually the guys go like tape it together, put some sort of cast over like the fingers. It's just very bizarre that.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Had these injuries 2 years in a row, and everybody's blaming the training staff. But a lot of I wouldn't say a lot of these injuries are on the training staff, like an Achilles.
I don't know.
I don't know, Achilles.
Well, maybe Achilles. I don't know how you could blame a finger, though, or a turf toe on a training staff.
That's hey, you guys want to hear what happened with Jackson's finger? He opened up about it.
What?
You guys want to hear what happened to Jackson's finger?
Sure.
His right ring finger got snagged inside the spider pad of a defensive lineman, injuring both tendon and bone. He's now, missed 2 games. Okay. But yeah. His finger got snagged in a spider web or spider pad.
A spider web.
Spider web.
Spider pad.
Sheila got him.
Yeah.
Well, that explains it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. They should ban spider pads.
Yeah. Can someone tell me what a spider pad is now?
It's like where a spider lives. That's his pad.
Oh, God.
But anyways,
some young bachelor spider just in there.
I would assume Jonah Jackson's out again this week.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I would hope Frank Ragnow can get in there. It's much better having Evan Brown in there over Stenberg. Sorry, UJ.
I do think Evan Brown's a better lineman at this point. Although, I mean, Evan Brown played okay last game. He didn't play
not as good as at center.
Super, yeah. Center is definitely his better position, but he's a serviceable backup. That's what all you can ask for, really. At least our tackles aren't hurt. Knock on wood. I'm finding wood right now.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Yes.
But Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like he's going to be a game time decision, but kind of trending towards the not playing. Josh Reynolds. I didn't realize he was that hurt. Sometimes it's hard because the line seemed to err towards the side of caution and not have these guys practice.
True.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The final report's all that really matters in the week.
Who's
questionable, at least.
Amon-Ra has a low ankle sprain instead of the dreaded high ankle sprain, which is the bad one. So
that's good.
He should be back.
I'm just, why are we so brittle, man? What,
it's,
you know.
It's not brittleness. It's just football, man. Yeah, this is battle. I mean, you know it.
I know,
no one gets through a football season unscathed. And yeah, I bet you the reports look similar around the league. It's just bodies colliding, baby, at high speeds with like little shells. Like they're human missiles. It's the most violent sport, okay?
Yeah. I know. But listen, answer to this. Why is Siebert still on the team? That guy.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
He's
I think that
groin injury
is hard to find.
Yeah,
they to be fair, I don't think he should have been kicking those kicks. Though, you know,
I mean, the Chiefs had the Chiefs kicker was hurt, and they found what they thought was the best guy off the market, and Matt Amendola, and they lost the game because of it last week. So
yeah,
hard to find a good.
They're not as easy to find as you may think at times.
I don't know. It's just
maybe we
it's
should
just
get
tough seeing all these guys hurt. But I think we still got enough guys to put a good fight together here and win this game, though.
And to your point, Red Dog, about the everybody's like, oh, man, the Lions have a lot of injuries prior to the training staff. I mean, the Lions injury report in terms of 14 people listed on it was like a half above the average in the NFL right now. So,
yeah. Which means there's worse ones.
There's always
out
injuries.
There.
Every year, it's a violent sport. There's always going to be injuries. So,
yeah.
That's why depth is so important.
And grit, baby. This is a good
grit.
It takes grit.
To yes. be successful.
Yeah, what was that? Some player was talking about that, and they're like, the possibility of injury in this league is 100%. You're going to get injured at some point playing the game.
Yeah.
Which is just a violent game.
True.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why we love it.
You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You just can't play when you're injured. Isn't that what they're trying to tell Swift, right? If you're hurt, go out there. If you're injured,
yeah,
then you can't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Maybe last year he would have been out already, you know, before, you know, but he's been battling through.
Yeah. No, and they need him. They need him because even at 50%, he's electric.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe when Deuce told him that, he said, fuck you, Deuce. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. No.
What?
That was a dumb comment.
So Lions are hosting the Seahawks. The Lions are favored by 4 points. So favored again for the second time this season. Although I think they close as underdogs against Washington by the end. Or it is a pick 'em. Either way, this is definitely the heaviest they've been favored in, I think, since 2018. It's been a rough stretch. But this Seahawks team probably should be 0-3. The Broncos on Monday Night Football Week 1 fumbled twice at the goal line and then made a lot of questionable coaching decisions that led to the Seahawks pulling off the 17-16 victory. Then lost by 20 to the 49ers, who threw in Jimmy G at the last second. Then a Falcons team that a lot of people think are not very good, 27-23 last week. And that was in Seattle. So by those standards, you think the Lions should match up pretty decently this week against Seattle. This defense is not what it once was, but they still have Pete Carroll there. But your guys' initial thoughts, does Seattle give you any concerns?
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I see we're the better team, but you can't sleep on any team in the NFL. And that, I mean, with Geno Smith's doing okay, and they have some weapons, you know.
Yeah, we didn't even get the fact that Geno Smith is the starting quarterback for an NFL team.
Yeah.
Still is incredible.
He's been playing okay, though. I mean, he's been playing pretty good. I mean,
how long has he been in the league now?
He's 32. So
hey, he's my age.
10 years.
Yeah.
Their running back, their lead running backs, Rashad Penny. They still have Lockett. They still have Metcalf. Noah Fant. They got in the Denver trade. So they have some pieces.
Yeah, you know Hawk's going to show up over Noah Fant, right? Because they were the
Yeah, you would hope so.
Yeah.
You would hope
because some people thought he was like the guy to get, but I don't think it's panned out.
Hawk's going to have to step up this week.
I don't think
without,
either of them have panned out, really.
So. With Swift limited and we're out and St. Brown limited, Hawk's going to have to step up this. He's our,
he
supposed
just
to be
has
our
to
next
step up,
best
period.
Weapon.
Yeah, Quandre Diggs still plays for the Seahawks. So notable face
Diggs.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I hope he sucks this that week.
That was a fan favorite.
Their cornerback's Justin Coleman. That ring a bell? Justin
yeah.
Coleman. Hey, UJ, wasn't that Quandre Diggs' brother that we saw at the stadium that one time?
Yeah.
Glenn Jammer.
Glenn Jammer.
Yeah, we ran into him like in the club section. He was walking around.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. He was a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, maybe we'll see him. I'm going to the game, so maybe we'll see him.
Yeah.
I'll say, tell him you said hello.
Say, hey, Glenn, remember me? Yeah. Remember that last time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest guy to worry about in terms of pass rush. Well, Shelby Harris has been hurt for a while for them. But they have nobody with more than a sack on this team. They blitz a lot from the linebacker position, so a lot of their linebackers have a single sack. The only D-end with a sack is Quinton Jefferson, their D-end. He's 29. He's been around a little bit. And then Jamal Adams is out for the year, so that trade is not looking good for
Our
Seattle.
Line's going to eat this week, baby.
And then Will Disley, the tight end for Seattle as well, along with Noah Fant. And then Metcalf, they were... You know, at a decent point, they're asking about Okuda and his performance. And Okuda, he said, well, he's a pretty decent player, but he's getting a lot of help from the safety over top. So I don't know if that was supposed to be a dig or just an honest opinion, but it had some truth because the Lions were keeping two eyes on Justin Jefferson all last week.
Well, yeah, I think that was part of their plan.
It's easier as a quarterback when you lean towards a guy. But I mean, there's not a lot of talent on this team outside of maybe the wide receiver position. The offensive line is just average at best. Obviously Geno Smith is not what you would consider. I mean, he's a backup quarterback in this league for a long time. Maybe running back Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker, being their rookie running back out of Michigan State. But
he was great with State, but he hasn't done it in the NFL yet.
This is like a perfect set of big game. Perfect rebound game for Hutch and crew, I think, here. I think we should tear this O-line apart, especially after how well they were blocked last week.
That's a good point, though. This is a good rebound game for us to come back and just take a nice win here. To calm some of the fans' fears down a little bit, you know, from that debacle at Minnesota. But
yeah.
What'd you say, debacle?
Yeah, debacle. Debacle.
never heard that one.
Yeah, I haven't either. So that threw me off a little bit. A couple sacks last week giving up the Falcons are they're an all right offense, but I mean they did use their they did tear them up on the ground. So look for Lions to continue to pound the rock in this game. If Swift is out, even if Swift is not a scratch, I would still recommend picking up Jamal Williams in fantasy if he's still available, because I think the Lions are going to really attack him on the ground here. That's what the Broncos did. That's what the 49ers did. And that's what Atlanta has done. This defense for Seattle up in their front seven is not anywhere close to what it was in their heyday in the Legion of Boom era. So I would expect the Lions to really attack on the ground. And, you know, just try to get out of here with a victory. Let's get healthy as we get to more of these division games.
Yeah. I expect them to dominate. I want them to roll in there and tear them a new one. I think they're pissed about the way this game went last week. I think they're going to execute flawlessly, much more close to flawlessly than they have thus far, because I think they know that game last week. What happened is so against their character. They're so repulsed right now that they're going to come out to show everybody that that's not who they are anymore. And they're going to shove it down the Seattle's throat.
I hope you're right on that one.
Yeah. And maybe they will, maybe they'll go out there and kick 7 field goals this week to prove that they can make it.
No field goal.
Oh, boy. They're just going to put it all on him. They're just going to set up for the kicks. They're not even going to try to score touchdowns. They're just trying to outscore him with the field
goal. A new strategy.
I do. As long as the Lions can shut down the run game, I really like this matchup for Detroit. So, because if you put the ball on Geno Smith's hands, he will turn it over at some point in this game. So that part excites me a lot. And you know, there's a fun stat I read today. The Lions actually, this is probably obvious, but you know, the one top offense of the NFL for the first 3 weeks. They're at 5th in EPA per play, expected points added. So that means they're being really 5th in EPA per play in the NFL. Expected points added per play is EPA. It's like a statistician's number, but it measures like efficiency. So 5th in EPA is very, very good, obviously. So I think at the bottom is like Denver and the Bears. So
the Bears. Yeah.
Somehow the Bears are 2-1. It's incredible. You know, actually, one of the crazier stats from last week, the Dolphins beat the Bills. What was it? 22-19, I believe it was. And the Bills had 99-0 offensive plays in that game, and the Dolphins had 38.
What?
And the Dolphins won!
Oh, my God.
It's one of the crazier stats I've ever seen. Like, how a team could win with that big of a differential. That Dolphins team had to be, like, I don't know how they got through the game.
That sounds like a lot of luck.
It was also 85 degrees during that game.
So. A lot of luck and mistakes.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I don't know if you saw the highlight, too, from that game, but the Dolphins also kicked the ball right into their guy's ass in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. That was a crazy play.
What?
The blocker in front of the punter. I forgot. There's a specific
up
name
man.
For it. Up man, yeah. The up man, it was, they're snapping it from the 1 yard line, so obviously it's short enough. But then the up man kind of backs. He probably shouldn't back up. And then the punter took too big of a step up on his kick. And that combination resulted in him kicking the ball right into his ass.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, go look it up.
Yeah, it's amazing? Pretty funny.
These guys are like the pros. They can do stuff like that.
Yeah. So on this episode, we don't have, no one's entering the Lions Den this week. We've had a Seattle guy in the past. We gave it to him pretty good. So we're going to give him a pass. This.
They're afraid to come back.
Yeah. They flew back to their nest immediately. Actually, Seattle, you were at the last time, Bob, right? You were at that game the last time they played Seattle in Detroit?
Wait,
I remember specifically there was a play that I really hated by the refs. They called it a catch when it shouldn't have been, or it was the opposite way. I cannot remember for the life of me, but there was a catch, a controversial catch, of course, went against the Lions.
Yeah.
They actually ended up losing the game. That was when Russell Wilson was still there.
That sounds vaguely familiar now that you're mentioning it. I probably tried to wipe that from my mind. Yeah.
So the Lions owe him is what I'm trying to get to.
Oh yeah, and then if you're going to talk about Seahawks, what about the playoffs? You know, the tip out of the end zone? You know, where they punch the ball out?
The Monday Night Football?
Yeah. I guess I wasn't playoffs, but it was. That was
Bobby Wagner.
Awful.
I believe it was that. Don't fumble at the 1 yard line, but he did. And
right.
They whack it out. Every ref.
And there's
every ref said they were wrong. Obviously, the NFL came out and said they called it incorrectly.
Yeah, and then you could on that replay, the ref is right there, and he just taps it out. He's
literally right there.
What got me
in the entire world?
What got me was how like the newscasters were like, "Look how smart this is by him right here to tap it out." And then they're like, that's not actually the rule. He's not allowed to do that." Then they're like, "He had no intent," and they're like, "What?"
No, it was definitely intent. It was just they missed
the
call.
Obvious.
So, obviously, Tracy Walker out for the year with the Achilles injury. So, who's going to step up in his place? will they be able to fill the void of him being out? Because he's one of the key parts of our defense, which is already a little undermanned talent-wise, and cost us late last week. So can Hughes step up, or is it going to be someone else?
Kirby Joseph, baby.
You think he's ready?
I do not think he's ready at all.
What about Iffy? He was a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks.
Maybe him. Yeah. I don't know.
I think Juju's going to be the guy that's going to have to step up here.
Yeah. Does it concern you that Iffy has been a healthy scratch for 2 weeks now?
A little bit.
In terms of his where the Lions kind of see him going forward.
I think a little bit. I mean, I don't think the safety play has been stellar. It's been okay, but I'm a little surprised he hasn't been on the roster.
Yeah, I am. I thought he was trending in the right direction last year, so he must not be showing anything in practice. I know he's coming back from an injury, so I don't know if they're just playing it super slow, but I mean, they said he was full go the last 2 weeks, so I don't think that's it.
They still want to get him up to speed or something. Maybe they are taking him slow.
UJ, one thing I like about this year's safeties, it's like Benny Blades type of hits. They're crushing people when they hit them. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but when they do get to line a guy up, they clobber him.
That is true. I got to give you that.
Yeah.
Been a couple good hits.
Yeah.
Elliott's a headhunt. Man, Elliott's a monster, actually. I think he's going to be looked back on as one of the better signings. Dude is tearing. As long as he stays healthy, he's tearing up the field. Like, he's using the blitzing and he's in the box shutting down the run. Like, dude's awesome.
Plays through the echo of the whistle or whatever, you know.
Still think he's struggling in coverage a bit, though. That concerns
maybe.
Me.
Yeah,
I mean, our whole secondary is struggling a bit, but
I mean, it comes with pass rush too, though. We need to generate a better pass rush,
which last week was not good, but I think that'll change this week.
Do we know when what's his face comes back? The commish. Do we have any sense of that time?
John Kaminsky.
Yeah,
He's not on IR, so hopefully. Next week,
hopefully, because he like. I mean, I think it's obvious that he was helping make that pass rush more formidable.
Oh yeah,
getting him back would be really nice. Though either way, I think Hutch has got to really bounce back after that last performance of getting like basically shut out of the stat sheet once again.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that need to step
Hutch
up.
Hutch did not have a good game last week. Now it was because he's injured, but I don't know, but. It was his performance in a run game that was probably more upsetting than anything.
They strategized for him, though. I think they baited him, and they did a lot of things to against our aggressiveness in general, honestly. But
yeah, Lions are the worst against the run in the NFL through first three games of the season. So that's
progress.
So that hasn't changed from last year.
No, it has not, unfortunately.
That is always going to be a little skewed by that first game against the Eagles with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and Hurts is legit, man. He is
legit.
Yeah. He is definitely looking it.
Yeah, Philly has smoked their last two opponents and look like possibly the best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they look really good.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get into it now, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's what America's been waiting for all week, and it's finally here. It's our ever-famous predictions.
Ooh.
As I mentioned, Lions 4-point favorites, 48 is the over-under in Detroit. Bob, let's start with you, since you'll be there.
All right, what do you predict? I'll be there, and I'm supposed to bring home a winner, so I'll have to do that. I like this matchup a lot for the Lions, and after last week, the players are pissed, and they're not like stunned by it. I think they're ready to learn from their mistakes and move on. Goff, they still have their confidence. You know, sometimes you see those post-game interviews and they're just like lost. These guys they're just going to methodically go about their business. They know what their mistakes were. They're going to clean them off. So I like it. I like especially the offense, because that's our skilled side of the ball. I think we'll do well at that. Even with Swift out, I like a run game in this. And I think Goff's going to light it up out there. And on offense, my pick to click is going to be T.J. Hockenson. I know you guys are all down on T.J., but he did have a touchdown last week and had a great block. But he's going to score. I like this. We're going to be back in the 35. I like 38 points for the Lions on offense. The defense, they're going to – Hutch, you know, he's a work in progress. You know, he's a rookie, so he's going to have up and down games. I think he's going to be back up this week. And I like him getting to Geno Smith and knocking him into the turf a few times. Well, probably a couple times. Two sacks for him. There you go. Back on the stat sheet.
Oh, yeah.
So 38 to 21 Lions.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's go. UJ.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of with you, Bob. I want to see him run the hell out of the ball. I think this is going to be a big game for Jamal Williams. They're going to let him be the bell cow in this one, and he's going to rise to the occasion. I think he's going to get 100-plus yards on the ground, probably a touchdown or two. I think our defense can handle this team okay. I think we will get to the quarterback, put some pressure on, create a couple of turnovers. My prediction, my pick to click is based on if Amon-Ra St. Brown plays or not, and that's going to be Quentin Cephas. I think if St. Brown does not play, Cephas is going to be in there in the slot. And he's going to come in and he's going to make a couple big catches and he's going to shut up all these critics on this damn podcast.
Love it. Do you think he gets some snaps this week?
Yeah. Well, it depends. St. Brown can go.
Isn't Reynolds down too?
If he goes, currently, and Reynolds maybe down.
Is. I don't know.
Anyway, there's room to let some other guys play. Let some of these guys who are injured heal. So I think he's got a good shot of playing. And he's going to make some plays, trust me. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lions are going to have a great game here. And I think, like Bob said, 35. We're back on the 35-plus. I'm going to go 39 to 24.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to win by a lot of points.
Take the over.
Garbage time.
Bet the over for sure. Garbage the Lions time. Will score a lot of points. Goff's going to light it up. Yeah, it's going to be a good day for the Lions. And we'll forget all about that Minnesota game, at least for a week.
It's crazy how many low-scoring games there are in the NFL to start this season. There's an 11-10 game, that Jimmy Garoppolo safety game. I think the under right now in the NFL, or the over-under, the under is hit 40. The under is 49 and, like, 32 to start the season or something like that. But the Lions are over every game. So let's go to you, Red Dog. How many points?
Yeah, it does seem like, it's harder to score in the NFL than some of these teams make it look. Lots of points here coming your way from this offense. I think this offense is going to be much more efficient, and if the Lions are smart, they're going to go to Quintez Cephas, like UJ says, because honestly, I think he offers more of an X factor than our other options when St. Brown is down. And they need to find something to keep, because like when St. Brown and Swift were down last week, the offense kind of stalled. And I'm not sure if Chark and Reynolds have proven enough to me enough that Reynolds a little more than Chark, but I'm not convinced they're enough to get this offense, keep it going. I think Cephas picks up a lot of the slack and then some. But besides the point, I also think that Rodrigo takes a big jump this week and has a huge game. And this is going to be one where he kind of just takes over on defense. Gets two interceptions, one for a touchdown, gets a sack in there, tears it up, I think. 10+
That would
tackles.
Be amazing.
But no, this is a bounce back game. Like I said earlier, they're going to come back. They're going to iron things out, like Bob said. And this team is determined and they're talented and they're going to find a way to win in a convincing manner this week, 49 to 12.
The
12, Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And Cephas is actually going to have a catch.
If you're a first time listener to this podcast, you'd think like Quintez Cephas was like the top two receiver on the team. he doesn't even have a catch this year.
Yeah. He has more tackles than catches.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to this podcast, you would think that he's the worst player that ever graced the football field.
Or the opposite.
By some people.
Yeah, or the opposite. Yeah. Depending on who's talking.
Exactly. Depends on who's
Hall of Famer.
Don't worry, he's gonna prove it. Don't worry.
You know, we have like a guy like named Khalif Raymond on the team.
Yeah, right.
He's been a bit disappointing too. I feel like
he hardly gets in. He would step up probably before Cephas.
Yeah, game. I agree with you, Z.
Or Cephas is a healthy scratch and Tom Kennedy comes in.
Oh my God,
that would be amazing.
That's intriguing.
UJ perking up over there.
Yeah, you perked me up a little bit. I'm okay with that.
I'm going to go 31-20 Lions in this one.
Big Z, you are really confident. You're not this confident ever.
Yeah.
I don't even believe it. Oh my God.
I think this matches up really well for us. Even if our linemen are out, like even if Ragnow's out, I still really like our run offense in this one. And I like Jamal Williams to have two more touchdowns this week as well. That's why I'm saying pick him up. I think goes for at least 80 in a touchdown. I don't know about 100 because they'll probably throw in Craig Reynolds there. Craig Reynolds, also, I want to see more out of you going forward here. He seems to get, you know,
sorry, one Chief hit and goes is ready for
lately. But so 31-20. You know, I think our defense still going to give up a little bit, but I like our offense enough in this one to take it away with a victory and move on to week 5.
Oh yeah,
2-2. You know, it's crazy right now in the NFL, the standings. There's two undefeated teams left only already.
Wow.
If you're in a survivor pool, you know all the upsets that have happened this year.
Parody's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the NFL is so fun in a lot of ways. But 2-3-0 teams, the Dolphins and the Eagles, several 2-1 teams, several 1-2 teams, and then the Texans are 0-2-1, and then the Raiders are 0-3, and they've lost those games by a combined 13 points. So there is just a ton of parity in the NFL right now, and the Lions are by no means, especially with the 7 teams making the playoffs now, out of playoff contention. So, and I think a lot of Lions fans are seeing that as well, especially with a team like the Bears are 2-1. You're like, oh, we can do this.
So,
I don't know if did you guys have anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, I'm just so impressed by your confidence this week, Big Z, that I'm going to double my bets on the Lions.
Oh, don't do that. I appreciate it, though, if you do, love for my confidence this week. But
some of the listeners who are new to fantasy, is Cephas available? I'm going to pick him up this week.
What? Smart no room. Answers? He's owned by 0% of fantasy owners? This is a steal.
take the lead by fire, you watch.
Spartacus. Took down the Roman Empire.
So I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. SidelineReport.com. The podcast is hosted on there by them, so go check it out. Brad Berryman has a lot of good articles on there. Thank you for hosting it. But also Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, please download it. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about this week's game. Give us your predictions for the week as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, just one more thank you, of course, to our producer,
Kid J.
Hey.
Our best one yet.
And then thank you to all you beautiful listeners out there. We wish you a safe and happy and healthy weekend, and eat and drink the Kool-Aid away, or eat food and drink Kool-Aid away on Sunday watching the Lions victory. Otherwise, we'll see you back early next week, reacting to week 4. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Goodbye to your credit. credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.